Hope Willard's in the studio and all the fellas. I'm just a little bit late here. Oh, boy, I don't know why we get so busy this time of the evening and we... Oh, I'm sorry, madam. I didn't mean to bump into you there.
Are you Mr. Walker?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm sorry.
I've admired your show for so long.
Well, thank you very much. It's awfully kind of you, ma'am. I've got to get in the studio right now. I'm going on the air in just a few seconds.
My name is Miss Gladys Glottal, and I'd like to speak to you if I could.
Well, Miss Glottal, if you'd call me and make an appointment sometime, I've got to get in the studio right
now. Well, it's about my boy, Mr. Walker.
About your boy?
What's
wrong with him, ma'am?
Well, nothing. He's a singer, don't you know?
Oh, I see.
The little fellow's been singing now for, he's only 6 years old, and he's got such a nice little tender voice, and I was just wondering if you couldn't give Orville an audition.
Well, not right now. I tell you what, why don't you get him in a couple of amateur shows sometime?
Well, I mean, he's been in the school show.
No, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I've got to get
school,
the studio. Excuse me, ma'am.
Please,
I've got to get the studio. I don't want to be rude, but...
Please, go ahead.
Boy, I thought I'd never get in the studio here. Oh, I didn't mean to be so rude to her, but I... You guys better play the theme here before she comes in here.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
That's the theme. It's time for the Joy Boys show. Willard, I'm sorry I'm late here, but we have a show coming up, and I think we're going to have a very interesting program for you this evening. We'll have Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park, along with an interview with a man who has perfected a new electronic brain that will answer just about any question in the book. Also, we'll have the answer man here.
Sounds like a pretty swinging show, Eddie. I just hope we can...
Mrs. Glottal, I'm very sorry, ma'am, but we're on the air. Didn't you see that light over the door
there? I saw it, but honestly, my boy has been singing a tenor now so good and so long, and I was just hoping if you could... He's such a nice little fella, and he'd love to sing for you. Just an audition, please.
Well, Willard, this is Gladys Glottal, in case you didn't know.
Miss Glottal, we can't do that
on
the air.
No, it's perfectly obvious.
Well, I don't know.
We have to plan our shows well in advance, and we just cannot... Do this.
I've heard your show. Don't blame me for being stupid.
If you'll just step outside the studio.
Yeah, Miss Glottal, here. I'll come outside. I'll waddle
this Glottal. We'll figure this out later.
No,
my goodness. Oh. Let's see. Do we have an award this evening or something?
Yeah, I got her out of there, Eddie. I
hate to be rude to people like that, but she just won't take no for an answer, you know.
Well, I got an award sent to us through the mail.
Good. What is it?
The Chinese pots and pan manufacturers have just voted you and me the two biggest long pans in radio.
Hey, awesome.
Got first pair of long pans.
Ralph Martiri of the orchestra, that's called Digga Digga Doo here.
Crazy Ways the Woo there. That's a really good record.
Just a moment, please. Who is there?
It's me, Miss Glottal.
Look, Miss Glottal, I told you before, we're on the air. Now, would you stop that or I'll have to call a page to come take you away?
Please, but my boy's a tenor and he wants to sing. This is an audition.
After the show, we'll talk to your kid.
Down on a go drop somewhere by the candy counter or something. Yes,
we have other things to do here. Willard, would you like to introduce our first guest this evening here?
Ladies and gentlemen, in our studio with us this evening is a gentleman who's brought with him one of the most unique interviews right over here, sir.
Thank you very
much.
We've
ever had on the show. This is Mr. Actually...
equipment.
Dr. Carl Transistor of Transylvania.
Yeah. Oh, steady there. That's very delicate precision equipment that you're handling there, my friend.
According to our research paper,
you have
brought us an electronic brain. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, well, I've been working on this.
Is it yours or is it the machine's?
No, the machine. I have built it.
You don't have an electronic brain.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
I noticed you were sort of lit up there when you first came to the studio.
I have a shiny nose.
Oh.
But I have been working working for years, endlessly, unceasingly, on this machine that will answer just about any question that you could ask it.
Well, could you tell us a little background on this machine? I mean, this is not a copy of any other organization's machine. This is your own from...
This is my own invention, and it's a machine that has an infinite amount of knowledge stored in the brain. When you just ask the question and the machine takes over, when you get the answer on a printed card in just a matter of about 10 seconds.
Well, now let's make one thing quite clear. Most of these electronic brains have little tape computers and things like that, but this one doesn't. It's all transistorized.
All transistorized.
In fact, the two of our studio boys lifted in the studio. Isn't that right, Phillip? Sort of.
It's a very light machine, actually, for the size and everything, and it's a marvelous piece of equipment here.
Well, now, I'll take this little microphone and I ask it a question. Is
you
that
just
right?
Ask it a question and the machine will answer you. Yeah.
Machine, what day is this today? I see the answer fell out here. It says today is January the 4th, 1961.
I told you that's right, isn't
well,
it?
Well, no, that's amazing, yeah.
A little hand for the machine.
Wonderful. Eddie, would you like to ask the machine a question about the weather or something?
Oh, yes. Machine, could you tell me what is the weather forecast for this evening, please?
Look at the lights going on.
It uses a good bit of electricity. I'll be station in mind. Here it comes.
Oh, hey, look at that. The low tonight will be 18 in the suburbs. That is amazing.
That's
fantastic. That's a fantastic
question. Well, I'm flattered that you all feel this way about it. And if you'd like to ask it one more question, I wouldn't be embarrassed at all.
All right, I'll ask it. I'll ask it a question that it couldn't possibly have, you know, been pre recorded. Let's see now. I know what I'll ask it.
Yeah.
Machine, how old are you? Oh, Professor.
Oh, I forgot to tell you
the
something.
Machine hit me right in the mouth.
Yeah, but I forgot to tell you, the machine is a female. Her name is Eunice Vack, and you ask the word, you never ask a female what her age is. And it's a... Well, when we finally got the record settled down there, that was Dinah Shore and the song called Who.
Man, don't lift your hands off me, young man.
Now, look, lady, I told you before, these fellas are on the radio. I meant to take you outside in the lobby.
Miss Glottal again, Mr. What's Walker, Mr. Scott, please.
Miss Glottal.
On bended knee, I beg you, please audition my boy. He sings so beautifully, and he's just a little fella, and he'd love to audition
Miss
for
Glottal,
your show.
I'm a patient man, and I've tried to be kind to you.
I know.
I've tried not to lose my temper, Miss Glottal.
You've been wonderful.
Yes, well, you've got to realize, Mrs. Glottal, that we're doing a radio show here.
I know.
And I don't have time to interview or audition anybody this time. It's the first time I've ever done anything like that. I hope the audience will forgive me. This is the Joy Boys show for...
Rather snippy with her, I think.
Willard, I mean, after all, we're trying to do a show here, and
well,
I
think Robin Hood's outside.
Yeah, well, let's go, fellas. And now, the National Broadcasting Company brings you the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, prison stands a man. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
The Adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park, starring Bulow Bulow as Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park. Today's exciting episode, boys and girls, entitled Robin Hood and the Merry Men Meet for the Movies. As our story opens, we find Robin waiting outside the local theater. We hear him say...
Well, let's see. This is where we were supposed to meet to go to the movies this evening. Seems as though I'm here first. I was hoping that Friar Tuck and Little John and Alan Adale and some of the rest of the boys would show up before the feature starts. I hate to go into a movie late. What's that I see coming down the street? It looks as though... I'll just peek in the theater and see if it features. Newsreel is on. Oh, well. At least that's not the main feature. I hope they...
Fire truck. Over here, Fire.
Hi, Robin.
Fire truck.
Hi, Robin.
Fire, you're late. What happened to you?
Hi, Robin. I was casing the job for tomorrow evening. Let me hear.
Yes, listen, Fire truck. We want to get into the movie before the main feature. Where are the rest of the merry men?
Hi, Robin. Little John said he'd be late. He was stopping off for a bite to eat. He's going to bring some popcorn. He got some free over at the old house.
Good, but I wish he would... I tell you what, you wait here, Friar. I'm going to walk in and see how far the movie has progressed. Here,
so very good. I'll wait here.
My favorite cartoon, Woody Woodpecker. Well, I guess it can't be helped, Friar. I do wish the rest of the men...
Hey, Robin, we're going to do all we can to stay around and wait. I know they'll be here sooner or later. I left them about an hour ago, and I'm sure they'll be here any moment now.
Here they come. Here comes... Little John!
Hi,
Little John! Yeah! Yeah, Little John.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry.
You ought to be sorry. You realize you're 10 minutes late already?
I went uptown to the downtown theater, Robin, and I didn't realize we were supposed to come up
downtown,
to the uptown
theater. For heaven's sake, why don't you get your signal straight?
Hey, Robin, that was part of my problem for being late, too.
You're both ridiculous. Who's that? Alan Adale!
Hey, Robin! Hey, Robin! Who?
Men are coming.
You're always late, Alan.
I'm sorry?
You're always late, Alan.
You men have no room to talk. Now then, we're almost all here. Let me just peek in and see.
Hi, but Robin, I've got tickets for the show so we can walk in. I was smart yesterday. I got the tickets for the program.
You bought tickets for the show?
I stooped to a New Year's resolution. I bought tickets for the show instead of
Amazing.
Going in the back door like
well,
we
Well, are we all here, man? Are we ready to go into the show?
Let's open the door and go to the theater.
Open the door
and
we'll go into the theater. Men, I have the feeling that Little John...
Hi, Robin.
Friar Tuck.
Hi, Robin.
I think that they're all... The movie is over. They're all filing out of the theater.
We turned the lights on. I think we've missed the whole show. I
missed the whole show because
you're
of men.
It was John. It was...
We don't have all the time because you're right.
On time.
This has been a Hood Rob production.
I got this. Oh, we're back on the air here.
Wait a minute, Forgetti. We have the record.
It's called Just for Fun by Nat Cole there.
Right. Now, what is it, Forgetti?
Here's a note from Mrs. Glottal.
I mean, that woman with her kid
out
there?
Yeah, she just won't take no for an answer. Here, read the note there.
Oh, I see. Dear Mr. Scott, Mr. Walker, please, my boy wants to audition for radio. Please let him come in and sing tenor for you. Pleadingly yours, Mrs. Glottal.
All right, I'll tell you what, Perky, go tell her after the next bit we'll try to squeeze him in. I'm beginning to soften.
I guess.
Okay, she'll be very tickled.
Yeah, well,
try to
get as much goodwill as possible.
Yes, a toadstool is a line of furniture for frogs.
No, a tadpole is not a survey of children.
Yes, a bushwhacker is a person who whacks bushes.
No, a crew cut is not an economy wave on board ship in the Navy. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 85th year.
God, we made
Each
it.
Week at time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him.
The first 84 are the toughest, that's what they say.
No, here he is, the answer man.
Thank you very much.
There's an audience today.
Thank you, family, and good evening, Willard Scott. You have our first question here?
Certainly do, Mr. Answer Man.
Wonderful.
Mrs. Pearl Handel of Hyattsville sends this one in.
That's her husband.
Her husband was wrapped up in a big box there. We'll send him back. I think we should screen these things.
I think so, yeah.
Mr. Earl Codliver of Arlington.
Hey, I bet the kids had fun with him when he got his report card. They used to call him Old Codliver Earl.
This is not a comedy show, Mr. Richardman.
I'm sorry.
I'm interested in the study of wildlife. Where can I begin and how would I go about this?
Just call me after the show and I'll give you a list of some of the places I used to frequent when I was a bachelor. Back there, there were some wild...
Miss Burger Bit of Northwest Washington would like to know, in American folklore regarding the legend of Davy Crockett, did Davy really kill him a bear when he was only 3?
Yes, he did, Miss Bit. I'm sure that you don't believe this, but it is true. Now, the bear was only 3. Davy was 45 at the time.
Mr. Paul Parrott of Rockville asks this question of you, a musical and historical combination question.
Uh-huh.
Did Nero really fiddle while Rome burned?
That's the reason it burned. He was fiddling with the fireplace in his spacious mansion there, and the thing ignited in the whole town.
We've been listening to Radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, simply address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $485 to cover the cost of handling and
mailing. It's gone up, hasn't
it? Actually, it used to be $635. It's dropped. Be with us again next week, when once more we'll present The Answer Man.
85th year. Heartaches, that is. Now, Miss Gladwell, we've decided to let your boy sing on the air. Would you bring the microphone in here?
Well, I think it's awful nice, and we appreciate that. Orville and me have been waiting here all afternoon to get our
very pressed for time, so shall we have... What's he going to sing?
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Go ahead, Orville.
Orville?
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow.
Wait a minute, what happened?
I don't understand.
We've been waiting here so long his voice changed.
That's right, Mom.
I don't believe it. My boy's now bass. Used to be a tenor all these years.
This is NBC.
Shut up,
Marlon. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
That does it for the Joy Boys for this evening. Till tomorrow, Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott reminding you that the part of Orville Glottis was played by Charlie Staffer on tonight's program.
Thank you.
Thanks to George Brown. Thanks to Bobby Sheldon. And Arthur Payne.
Yeah.
Along with Aldo Argentine.
My shoes.
Put the vino down.
This is Orville. Charles Staffer.
Get it right.
I don't know who I am.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Mac McGarry nurses a cold tonight on NBC.
The doctor said you were sick.
Mr. Worker, if you plan to retire soon, you can help the Social Security people to process your claim promptly by calling them a few weeks before you're ready to apply for your Social Security payments. A telephone call will be sufficient, or you can see your Social Security representative in person. NBC in Washington, WRC, WRC-FM. Stay tuned now for News of the World, 7:30.
This is Morgan Bailey bringing you News of the World. Tonight in the headlines, the big story, exclusive with News of the World. The inside meaning of the U.S. break with Cuba. First notification to Khrushchev. It's quits between us and the Red Stooge in Havana. There can never be a reconciliation. Second notification to our friends in Latin America.
Hi, Hess.
Hi, Herman. What are you doing?
Just goofing. What you got in your hands?
Huh? Oh, that's my new slingshot that my daddy gave me for Christmas. Boy, it's a honey, isn't it?
Can I see it?
Yeah, here, take a look.
Boy, that's a real beauty, isn't it?
It's terrific, yeah.
Well, when he bumps up it, the thing's really got power.
Yeah, you want to see it work?
Yeah.
Here, hand me that big rock over
okay,
there.
Okay, it's a rock.
Okay, now just put it right in here and let her go.
Oh, Hermie, is your daddy going to give you the dickens? You busted the picture window right out of the house.
Oh, he don't care.
What do you mean he doesn't care? You broke the window pane right out of the house.
He's got plenty more at home.
What do you mean, plenty more at home?
Well, my dad works for WRC Radio, and he says the Joy Boys give him a big pain every night.
The Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, time once again for the Joy Boys program, this one for Thursday evening, and Willard Scott will be here in just a minute. He went out to answer the phone or something. This is Ed Walker. We have our
trusty crew of engineers in there. We have an interesting program, we think, this evening. We're going to have an interview from the Club Steak in downtown Washington. We'll talk to a man who does not like television. Also going to go out in the halls of NBC and interview a few of the passers-by during our tours. And then we'll have the Sodbuster riding out of Northwest right into your living room. So you stick around for that. And see, I do believe we have an award here. The mathematicians of the Washington area have just voted the Joy Boys the biggest zero in radio. How about that? I don't know. Little cha-cha thing there called Janine, I Dream of Lilac Time. Right now, my partner Willard Scott is out in the halls of NBC with our roving microphone interviewing a few of the people who have stopped by for a tour. So we switch you to Willard Scott in the NBC corridor.
Willard Scott at the NBC corridor. And hello again. Speaking to you here from the corridors, we open the door and go on out the side room here. Right out here, a tour is going by now, I believe. If I can just get the microphone, hold it farther out in the hall. Every so often, we talk and chat with some of the people who are visiting us here at NBC, and Perky DePage is bringing a tour now through the halls of the National Broadcasting Company's beautiful building here, 4001 Nebraska Avenue.
See, that's Willard Scott standing there with a microphone in his hand.
Thank you. Thank you, Perky. Willard Scott. Hi, folks. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
How to do?
First of all, we have a gentleman visiting. Welcome to NBC. You are Mr.
Saul Sal's, my name.
Mr. Sal, I...
Yeah.
I detect a occupation there.
I'm a hog raiser.
It's wonderful. Yeah. We're cane raisers here at NBC.
It's pretty funny, yeah. I'm from down Virginia.
I see your card says you are from Hampton, Virginia.
That's right.
You're
the
peanut capital of
the
world.
That's right.
Would you mind standing next to the air conditioning unit?
Well, why?
Well,
it's draft ill, bro.
This is the outtake unit, and I appreciate
right.
it. Yeah, you stay right there.
I give hog calls. You want to hear me?
Would you like to give us a hog call? Well, that's wonderful. I don't think we have any...
Can I get the job or anything?
Oh, we're not auditioning. Oh. That's all right. We appreciate your coming.
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
Glad there is a mouse that just ran underneath the console there, so I think your work is certainly not going away.
Thank you.
Mr. Saul Thau.
No, this is Ed Walker here on the other side of the hall. We have some...
Talk to me, is it?
Oh, yes, I am, dear.
Come here.
Yes, it could be you. What's your name, my
dear? How do you do? Martha Moose is my name.
Martha Moose. Mm-hmm. Where are you from, dear?
I'm from over in Arlington, Virginia.
Would you care to tell us your age?
Well, I certainly would not, you young punk.
All right,
well, I just thought that.
My, you look very decked out there with your holiday hat.
I'm a little bit mad, Mr. Squawker, if you don't mind.
Walker. Mm-hmm. What seems to be the problem? We can help you.
I was on It Could Have Been Yours 2 weeks ago out in Hollywood, California.
Yes?
They promised to send me a whole living room suit of Bassett furniture.
Well, they're usually true to their word. What happened?
They sent me a Bassett hound. I've got him at home.
I don't like
dogs, if you don't mind.
Well, what do you listen to our show for?
I don't listen. I'm just taking a turn.
Oh, I see. Thank you. Yes, thank you, ma'am.
Apparently, she isn't too happy with her lot. Here's a gentleman over here.
Looks like he's
out of breath. Your name, sir?
Harry Hampstead.
Mr. Hampstead, I'm sorry you seem to be out of breath. Calm down here, fella.
I've been running all the way up here. My car is broke, and I had to run.
What do you got in your hand?
This is a dollar bill. I just heard you read it on the air a few minutes ago, and I got the right numbers.
You can check it right on there. I only got
20 minutes to get over there.
It's your problem, Jack. Walking on down the hall here, I wish the kid would get the station right. Here's another gentleman, very, very fine-looking gentleman.
This seems to be very relaxing, please, Jim.
Your name is Mr. Winston...
Winston Wingate is his name, sir.
Mr. Wingate,
yes,
welcome
yes,
to NBC, and
thank
what brings you to town?
Well, I'm here to examine some wonderful spectacles that I understand they have here in the nation's capital. I'm doing sightseeing, and I came over here to see the figures, and I'm wondering where the dummies are.
The dummies?
Yes.
I think they went home at 6 o'clock. They usually leave here, but, you know.
The dummies leave? I thought they were stationary objects that couldn't move.
Hold on. Are you sure you wanted NBC?
Oh, no. I was looking for the Wax Museum.
We'll send it back. You folks in the studio control, stand by. We've been chatting with our visitors in the hall here. We're coming early, local. Stand by. Here's more music.
Now, that's Jill Corey and that thing called I Double Dare You. This is the Joy Boys show for, what is, Thursday night, huh? Is that right?
January the 5th, 1961, and of course the show is coming to you from Studio 3 in WRC, Washington, D.C., right?
Right, but right now we're going to play back a tape that you made earlier this afternoon in one of our interviews where we go out on location, and you were interviewing people who have a gripe, is that correct?
That's right. Would you like to switch over to the...
Roll the tape, fellas.
Hello there. Well, it's Scott speaking to you from the Herb Beautiful Club Steak, located just 15 miles and about 40 minutes away by Parkway from beautiful Glen Burnie, Maryland, halfway between the nation's capital and Washington, D.C. And today, our little interview session is entitled You and Your Grouch. And we have my chair scooted across the floor here.
Don't do it. Don't slide that chair, monsieur.
I'm
you keep
sorry,
scratching
Pierre,
up the pile floor.
There we go. Let me just get the chair. There, it's fine. With my portable microphone, I'm now seated, I believe.
What do you want?
Mr. Gregory
Grouch. Yes.
Grouch?
Well, you want some with me? I'm
Miller's
eating my
Scott.
Dinner. I hate to be interrupted while I get indigestion.
Put it down
while I'm eating.
For a few seconds while we can talk to you.
Maybe we have on my leg of lamb. There.
Today is, please.
It's rare.
Very rare meat. Today we're interviewing people who have gripes.
Yes, I certainly do, and I'm happy for the opportunity to be able to air my gripe publicly.
Mr. Grouch, what is your gripe?
Huh?
What's your gripe?
Oh, yes, my gripe.
Would you like to tell us?
I do not like the form of television as we know it in this country today.
Well, I know that there are people all over the country who have similar viewpoints as to the television business. Would you like to tell us what don't you like about television?
Everything.
Well, now tell me, for instance, may I suggest...
I mean, the programs, for instance, and nothing that I care to sit down and watch of an evening.
Well, now, let me...
And my kids ruining their little eyes watching these things. I don't think that it's proper.
Let me point out, if I may, the NBC, the National Broadcasting Company, 2 weeks ago, or just a week ago, actually, presented the NBC Opera Company's presentation of Desiree.
Yes.
And this was in full living color, and it was on Sunday night. How did you enjoy that show?
I didn't catch that one. That's my bowling night. I didn't have to see that.
Sorry. Well, on Monday night, they had a very educational television show. I understand it was on NBC television again. It was a program that featured the story of Macbeth by Shakespeare. This was done with a stellar cast, an exciting show. And so how'd you like that?
That's the night I have the Citizens Committee meeting of our neighborhood group, and I didn't catch that one either.
Well, how about on the other channels? For instance, there's a very interesting show called Open End that talks about educational things, interviews some very successful
what
people.
What night is that on?
It's on Monday, Tuesday night.
That's the night I go out and roller skate. I didn't catch that
I
one
see.
Either.
Well, on Wednesday night, you might be interested in knowing that there's a home service program over another television channel that advises young mothers and housewives and teaches people how to be better citizens.
No, I had to work late at the office on Wednesday nights. So that's beside the point. The point is these programs and how we want to watch. And another thing,
I think
the size of the screen. Little 5-inch screen there. I mean, how people look like little ants on the screen. I mean, how can you, what?
When was the last time you watched television?
Well, the picture tube blew out during the Truman inaugural back in
I don't think we need to carry this any further. We've been talking to Mr. Gregory Grouch, whose gripe is not sufficient. I think that his grouch is worse than his
gripe. Get out of here and let me eat my dinner. I mean,
may I have some little mint jelly
get
there?
Get your hands off there.
After all is said and done,
my hey, and all the kids dancing right around here at the Milk Grunt Record Hop this evening. Golly. That's the Johnny Man group and a thing called Margie. And now what happens?
Oh. Stay tuned for the Sod Buster. From out of northwest on MacArthur Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the Sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peach-eating son of the sod. It's the Sodbuster. A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. Ah, yes, a true gentleman of the old West.
Happy New Year, ma'am.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of any old years we find roaming about the wild badlands of the Sodbuster. A Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, and his sidekick, Chester Droid.
Here, Chester.
Oh, oh, oh. The side.
Good shot.
Yeah. in and around the territory of Hyattsville, on out beyond Tacoma Park, up towards Wheaton, rode the Sodbuster, and his Sheriff Marshal U.S. His
U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. As our story opens, it's early evening. We find ourselves outside the Marshal's office. Miss Kitty, Doc, and Chester are inside, apparently up to some skullduggery.
Now, Chester, make sure that you have all the decorations hung there. Do you have
I'm
the crepe paper?
I'm my neck in skullduggery, Miss Kitty.
All right, now, let's see. We got all the refreshments, Doc?
Yes, we do, Miss Kitty. Yes, we have everything right over here.
Boy, Matt certainly is going to be surprised. He's out making his rounds, isn't he, Chester?
I hope so, Miss Kitty. I saw him about a half hour ago. I hope he doesn't get wind of this. Otherwise, we're going to be in powerful trouble. Because you know what we told him to do about this party. We told him we weren't even going to have no party.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to count his birthdays anymore.
And so as Miss Kitty and Chester talk about the party, we hear outside the old Wrangler as he comes up by the door and he hears the Chester saying,
"Well, I sure hope so, Miss Kitty. It don't seem right.
What's going on here? There's some fellas in the Marshal's office. I don't believe that the Marshal would approve.
Now, I'll tell you what I'll do, Miss Kitty. I'm going to stand over here behind the door. You turn all the lights out. And when the Marshal comes in, I'll leap over on him and surprise him.
They're going to ambush the Marshal. I got to tell him quick.
And so the old Wrangler ran down towards the old saloon where he thought he could find the Marshal, but he wasn't to be found. But over there by the bank, standing next to his horse, the old Wrangler finally found the Marshal.
Marshal! Marshal, come here!
What's the matter? What's going on here? I'm just making my nightly rounds.
Marshal, you gotta get back up to your office. There's a bunch of men there, and they're waiting to jump you and ambush you when you go in the office door. I overheard them talking, Marshal.
Now, just calm down there, Wrangler. You mean they're in the office and they're going to ambush me?
Yeah, I heard one of them say they're going to jump at you and surprise you when you come in the door. So you better get your gun and get ready there, Marshal.
And so the Marshal and the old Wrangler headed back to the Marshal's office, the Marshal not knowing what was awaiting, except that there would be some surprise. As our story reopens, we find the Marshal outside the office as he creeps up towards the door.
Now listen, Wrangler, I appreciate the advice, but you better get on out of here. There's liable to be some gunplay.
You don't have to tell me twice, Marshal.
Now let me just sneak up on the door. It's dark in there. Whoever's in there is blown out the candles in there, and I'll just kick the door open and jump in and surprise them. Here we go.
Let
go of me. I'll take care of you. Surprise me, will you? U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. The very idea of trying to ambush.
Marshal.
Grind it.
Marshal.
Chester.
Pull my face out of this 20-pound cake over here.
Doc.
Matt, you got to get me out from under the table.
Somebody unlock the jail and get Kitty out of the cell.
Miss Kitty, what's the meaning of this? I thought you were going to ambush me. What's going on here?
We're just going to surprise you with a birthday party, and you come and blew the whole bit. Plus the candles out of your cake, Marshal.
Well, I'll be doggone.
You spoil all our fun.
What do you know?
The Sodbuster is written by Moby Dick, produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekend, directed by Horace Afra. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Sore production.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Oh.
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
Well, I do believe that does it for the Joy Boys for Thursday evening. This is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott, on a personal note, will the party who left the Mack truck parked in the freight elevator of the building please come and pick it up? Apparently there's been some discussion as to this causing a little problem with the company's television policy.
Thanks to our engineers, Bobby, Mystery Man, and who else do we have here?
Little Georgie Broington, Roger Page.
This is Charles Stafford. This program is being heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Al Ross comes in a little late tomorrow morning over NBC Radio.
You had a close call.
Oh, boy, what a miserable cold. I'm getting myself to bed.
Stop! Never go to bed with a cold. Without Vicks VapoRub. Aspirin, ordinary cold tablets, work only about 4 hours. Only the Vicks VapoRub way relieves for 10 full hours. When you rub it on, it medicates nose, throat, chest all night long. You breathe easier, sleep better, wake up feeling better. Thanks to Vicks VapoRub.
This has been NBC News on the Hour. Listen again on the Hour for NBC Radio News, brought to you by Vicks VapoRub for all colds. Monitor your window on the world. Weekends on NBC Radio.
A vital message to all parents who plan to send their children to college. How would you feel if you found your son or daughter couldn't get in because there was no room? When all the time you might have been able to do something about it. This could happen. In fact, it's happened to many promising applicants this year. Many colleges have had to turn youngsters away because there's no room. By 1970, the situation will be worse, because in less than 10 short years, the number of college applications will have doubled. And, in addition, low salaries are forcing men dedicated to teaching to turn to other pursuits. The result? In less than 10 years, a dangerous shortage of qualified professors. Hopeless? No, there is hope yet, because there's still something you can do about it. The colleges and universities need help now, so support the college of your choice. For more information about this problem and what you can do to help, write Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36, New York. Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36, New York. WRC and WRC-FM, Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, this little scene just goes to show you that even if life were a bed of roses, if you were a hay fever sufferer, you'd still have problems.
The Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Good evening.
I got to where I liked it there for a minute.
Joy Boys Show. This is Willard Walker. I don't even know who I am. Willard Scott, and that's Ed Walker over there.
Thank you. And we have another sterling program for you. Bobby Shenton is our sound engineer.
Our mystery man is our not so sound engineer. He's cracking up. It's Friday, and he really needs help badly.
Yeah, how about me?
How about you?
I don't know. How about me?
Arthur Page, and he's going to sing How About You tonight. He's rehearsing. He likes moonlight.
I like New York in June.
You like June in New York. Remember the girl was here?
Yeah, that was all right. I'll tell you the truth.
The girl came down here.
Very interesting.
Gave you system cues.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Every hour on the hour.
What do we have coming up on the program?
I'll bite. What's coming up on the program?
We have Mr. Fix-It a little bit later on. I don't have these in the right order, I don't believe. You have
we will have the WRC Roundtable of Knowledge. Today they'll be discussing another word. I hope it's clean on the air here.
Yeah.
Also, we are going to interview an advertising man from Grouch, Slouch, and Pouch Advertising.
One of the new up-and-coming agencies, I might add.
He's got something pretty interesting to report to us today, too. So I think it'll clear the microphone. Daddy Sawbucks from the NBC Newsroom with a news item.
You're a little out of breath here, folks. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Daddy Sawbucks from the Newsroom, a report that President-elect Chester Arthur and his wife arrived in Washington today preparing for the inaugural ball.
President-elect Chester Arthur?
Yes.
That's been over 100 years ago. That's ridiculous.
You're kidding me.
Let me see. Where'd you get this piece of copy?
Found it on the desk up in the newsroom.
Whose desk was it on?
That shrimp up there in the newsroom.
What do you mean, the shrimp in the newsroom?
Wallace Fantail.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Daddy Sawbucks. Just forget
that. Oh, Daddy, that's Fanning.
Fanning is
it? Oh! Yeah. Oh, I've worked here for 30 years and I never knew his name. No wonder he don't speak to me.
That's probably why you haven't gotten any cut-ins on monitor. Yeah, well, look out, your asthma's... The studio's not hygienically clean. Play a record. Let's get him out
now
of here.
Now back to Radio Central.
Here we are at the Jazz Band Ball. Lester, what's that guy's name? Lanolin and his orchestra there.
Wonderful. The
Lanolin.
Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to welcome you to the walls of WRC's Roundtable of Knowledge. Presenting each week at this time, a very distinguished group of panel members who take a word out of our everyday common usage and give you the derivation, the semantics, as it were, of that word. Welcoming our guests, Mr. Orson Meyer, representing a very quiet group tonight, you might notice. Mr. Orson, thank you for coughing there, Professor. Mr. Orson Meyer, representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago.
That's our New Year's resolution, not to create a hubbub in the studio.
Miss Anonym, formerly the Miss Synonym of 1932, now with the East, West, North, South Word Study Group for Word Preservation.
Thank you. That would be a good word for some evening. Hubbub. Let's figure out what that means.
Right. Huh? And finally, the eminent and distinguished gentleman, the professor of neoanthrosemantics. Would you untie him, please?
A hubbub is a bum, I believe. That's hobo. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to my show once again.
That's Professor Heinrich Van Lines. You've met our panel members now. Panel
you didn't
members.
Say where I was from.
Wiesbaden, Germany.
Thank you.
Panel members, let's have today's word. Today's word, jab. Ms. Meyer?
Jab?
Mr. Nim? I mean,
jab.
Mr. Nim? Ms. Meyer?
Jab.
Jab, Professor?
Jab or,
are you ready? Jab. Would you like to take that word for us? First of all, Miss Nim, and tell us what you know about the word jab.
Well, let's see now. Jab. J-A-B.
Jab, J-A-B.
I think that's what somebody who's out of work looks for. A new jab.
I think you're two down and four to go.
That's what they say up in Buffalo, New York, there.
Miss Nim, you're absolutely wrong about that. Please, Miss Nim, the word. Jab. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Professor, we have four down and two more to go now. Would you like to tell us
I
about
always it? Wait till last. I'll see what
okay.
the rest of you
the professor passes. Yeah. Mr. Meyer, it's up to you to save the group now. Jab.
Jab. It's something you put on bread. I love it. Bread and jab.
No.
Very nice.
Professor, it's
there.
Time for you now to save us today.
Well, that's very simple. A jab is a sports car. You know, people drive around in jabs all the time.
That's
there.
A jag, I think you're thinking of.
A jag?
Or a jaguar.
Now, a jag is something the professor was on New Year's Eve.
Mr.
You
Meyer,
that, for heaven's
I don't
sake.
Think it's I necessary was, for you to discuss that on the air.
A jab is something that somebody picks up, like you pick up the jab at a restaurant.
That's tab. We have one more chance at the
He's
word.
He's a movie actor. He ain't got it on TV show there, tab.
Jab Hunter, no.
Oh, no. I give up. What
one more
jab?
Chance, jab.
I don't know.
Jab?
I give up.
All right, then jab is a poke. To poke or punch is
to what?
To poke or punch.
You mean like this?
Yes.
Ow! Ooh! Ee! Ooh! Join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, when once again our distinguished panel of experts will delve into another word semantic on the round table of knowledge. Kick him out of the studio there.
Beautiful college song there by Sue Rainey called Exactly Like You. Good school. I don't believe you. Got it there.
I got it. All exactly right. Like you.
Yeah, would you like to start the commercial? As soon as I find it, I'll come right in there with you. Somewhere.
Join me, won't you? All food right. Savings are number one at Safeway in 61. This week, Safeway is featuring superb leg au lamb, a meat value that means distinctive and hearty flavor for your meals. Properly trimmed before weighing and fully guaranteed by Safeway, leg au lamb is featured this week for only 59 cents a pound.
They trim all the wool off and everything.
Makes it much tastier.
Yeah.
Another fine food value featured this week at Safeway, a regular smoked pickanick for only 29 cents a pound, whole only. Like all meat buys at Safeway, smoked picnics are fully guaranteed for freshness, for flavor, and quality.
Yes, indeedy. And also they have these U.S. number one white potatoes in the 25-pound bag, only 79 cents. A big bag, a big value, always a favorite. Whether they're baked, fried, boiled, sliced, mashed, or whole, or mixed up with some other vegetables and things there. U.S. number one, white potatoes at Safeway mean health and energy for you and your family.
Lego lamb, regular smoked picnics, and U.S. number one, white potatoes prove that food savings are number one at Safeway in 61. Safeway, where food is first.
Now, sir, if you'd sit right down here, you're next.
We are about to interview a gentleman who shows a great...
Man.
Aptness for being clever and original, and on this program, it's about time that we had someone like that. A gentleman who's in the advertising game, is that right, sir?
That's right. Yes, indeed, I'm in the advertising game. Yes, indeed.
Representing the firm of Grouch, Slouch, and Pouch is Henry Slouch.
That's right, Henry Slouch. He'd fit right into the agency there. You could be Pouch.
Well, Mr. Slouch,
you've got to have a sense of humor in this business or you'll never make it.
That's right. Advertising requires a great sense of humor.
Certainly does.
And you must keep on your toes at all times.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But you get off your toes now, though, because I think you're on Eddie's toes right
Ouch.
Now. Yeah. Mr. Slouch, Henry, tell us, you've done something entirely new in the advertising game. You've brought a whole new world in advertising. Would you tell us about this?
Well, we got to be realistic in this field. There are so many media of communication today, the radio, the television, news ads, magazines, the billboard. And we saw those billboards on the highway. That got us to thinking. People have to drive to these billboards. Why not have a method of communication, of advertising to the people where the billboard comes to you?
You mean a sign on a guy's back?
No. Nothing as crude as all that.
Well, what is your
approach? We use the bald head, or pate, as some people call it.
You mean bald-headed men's heads?
Exactly, yes. Oh, makes a wonderful method of getting your message across.
Would you explain this a little deeper so that we can understand?
You see a guy walking down the street with a bald head, and you see a commercial message written on him. Why, people are going to read it.
You mean right on the spot where the head is bald, you write a little message?
There are the three basic types of bald-headed individuals. First of all, there's the man who's just beginning to lose his hair, has small bald patches in the middle of his head, about the size of a 50-cent piece for a silver dollar. We use those for the quickie commercials, sort of like your 10-second ads in radio or television. For instance, the first one we ever had was, picture your ad here.
This was getting the business started.
So teaser campaign, yeah. Yes. That's
right. Pretty interesting. Well, what about the second grade?
Second one is the man who is losing more of his hair.
Middle-aged man.
And he has just the fringe of hair around the edges.
Well, then you can get quite a nice message on there.
Good 30-second commercial in there.
How much would you say you charge for that? Would that be very
good? Oh, I don't know.
Depends on where the man works.
Depends on where he works. Of course, if a man works by himself in a lonely room, of course, he's not going to see the people. You take a bus driver, for instance. People see him. People get his message.
Well, you'd say someone who worked over at the Pentagon who sees maybe thousands of people a day could have a nice message.
He could make a good profit out of that.
Eat at Charlie's Burger House or something like that, and he could, you know, make a good...
Certainly. Profit. People see him. People That's see right. him.
What but about the final...
He's bald-headed, man. Completely bald. We can get a big... 1 minute commercial message on his head there.
Who was your first enterprising advertiser? Did you have a guy that was...
Well, Ewell Brenner, of course, probably the biggest we've had. Beautiful head for this sort of thing.
I understand one of the first ads was for Ticonderoga State Park.
But it fit on there very nicely.
Right across
Ticonderoga, we didn't even have to abbreviate it.
Well, it's been nice talking with you. I was just thinking here as a little suggestion, you might even sell it to a toupee manufacturer.
What? You out of your mind?
Well, I mean, I...
Toupee?
What do you mean?
They're trying to cover us up all the time. We don't want to sell our time to toupee people. Vic Damone swinging down the lane. We every once in a while get some very interesting letters in the mail.
405, 450, 455.
What are you counting there?
Money.
And we got a letter with some money in it today for the Answer Man. Remember at the end of the Answer Man bit, you always say send $485 for cover handling and mailing?
That's right.
We got it in the mail here. Who sent that in to us?
A very nice little letter with a picture of a kangaroo and a little baby kangaroo. It says, Dear Answer Man, how can you two be so silly? Love, Ursula,
mm-hmm.
8 years old. I think it's Ursula.
Yeah, that's right. She sent $485 in play money.
Bless her
heart.
Which
I thought was pretty cute.
We'll use it. It's called phony dough, so we'll use it at our cafeteria where they pass bad checks all the time.
Phony food up there. All right, let's fix it time here.
Phony farm. WRC Radio, in cooperation with Johnson & Swanson, the world's greatest manufacturer of first aid kits, brings you another visit with Mr. Fixit, radio's original goof-it-yourselfer. Today, as we join Mr. Fixit, we find him in his basement workshop, where apparently he's the... Ahoy there, Mr. Fixit.
Ahoy, hey there, Willard Scott, and good evening, ladies
and gentlemen.
Looks
like you're patching something up over there.
Exactly. I decided this year to patch things up.
What are you patching up?
A quarrel with my wife.
I see. Then what seems to be the trouble?
Well, it all started when I dropped my wife's antique vase. Is that what you call it, or vase?
Well, it all depends on whether you're going to say a vase of flowers or a vase of there, Charlie, at all.
Well, anyway, I dropped it, and she got a little bit perturbed, to say the least, and she hasn't spoken to me in 3 days.
Where is she now?
She's upstairs, I guess. She's just been up there, and she won't have anything to do with me, and I've been eating out, and So I decided this year I'll patch things up, and if I can fix this vase, I think that we'll be on the mend.
I know you. Oh, be on the mend.
Now, there's only one problem here.
What's that?
I can't take the vase up to her because she'll poke me in the mouth as soon as she sees me, so I need an emissary of goodwill.
I shall be your ambassador, Mr.
You are a wonderful boy, Willard.
Burger, whatever.
And I want you to know that if there are more guys like you, we wouldn't have problems.
Now I then, don't know how to take that exactly.
Here, I patched this vase together. Yeah. It was in about a million pieces. How does it look now? I used a little of that cement there.
It looks beautiful. Every piece and vice, it looks like an antique now.
It is. It really is.
Really, original antique.
Now, if you'd take that up to my wife, I'd be most appreciative and explain to her that I'm very sorry and that I want to apologize and I'm sure that everything will be okay.
Mr. Fixit?
Yes, sir, old buddy.
Leave it to me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, you just take it right on up
okay.
there.
Oh.
Leave it to you, yeah.
Mr. Fixit, I'm terribly sorry, but...
You tripped on
I tripped over one of these rubber mats on the stairs.
No, that was the next thing I was going to patch up, was that rubber mat.
We've been visiting with Radio's original goof-it-yourselfer, Mr.
Thing is all busted into a million
brought to you by Johnson & Swanson, the world's foremost manufacturer of first aid kits.
Finish my vase, yes, you creep!
Ah, shut up!
Join us again next week when Mr. Fixit will be heard to say...
Why do you need flowers anyway?
Get out of here, you bum!
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
And so, good people, we've reached the end of our rope for another week. Thanks to our producer, Richard the Lionhearted. Our director, Marco Polo. Scripts and special material by Queen Isabella. And our lawyer, Clarence Darrow.
Well, boys, we lost another one here.
Thanks to our engineers, Bobby Sheffield, Arthur Page, and good old Mystery Man. Walker and Scott say goodbye, and here's Charlie Stanton.
This program is being heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
The staff announcer forgets his trousers on the way to work tonight over NBC.
Well, what's the joke?
WRC and WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. 7:30.
This is Morgan Beatty bringing you news of the world. Tonight in the headlines, the big story exclusive. Castro dollars traced to American targets. The bearded one linked directly with a plan to counterfeit the truth. Senate committee digging into fair play for Cuba money. And the moment of actual truth comes tomorrow. Washington, Vientiane, Havana, more heavy clouds around the world. New York, the case of the plane and the radar signals. San Francisco, tragedy at the threshold of the new year. London, and now a new fear psychosis, universitis. Those are the headlines, in a moment the news.
Any time of year is a tough time of year for real outdoorsmen. No, not the fellows who go camping every now and then. But policemen, mailmen, construction men, telephone linemen, truck drivers, men who spend most of their working day exposed to the elements. You can be sure that most of them carry a chapstick right in their pocket and use it often during the day for soothing lip comfort at a moment's notice. More men buy and use chapstick than all other brands of lip balm combined. Chapstick is skillfully medicated and antiseptic to relieve and help heal chapped, dry, cracked, painful lips, whether they're caused by burning sun, driving rain, or chilling cold. So if you expect to spend any time outdoors, even just a weekend camping trip, take a tip from the real outdoorsman. Carry a personalized chapstick with you. Genuine chapstick in the black and white tube. Chapstick makes lips feel great. Now, here is Morgan Beatty with the news.
And the news tonight is a casual appearing, brief announcement by a congressional committee. The announcement, given orally to press and radio and TV, merely says the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee tomorrow will hold hearings on Fidel Castro's subsidy to the American-sponsored Fair Play for Cuba Committee. In your home or your car, if you heard that announcement in a routine broadcast, perhaps you would say wearily, "That Castro again. So what?" But there's a story behind the story, exclusive to News of the World, and it shows you vividly how communism practices the foul art of deception, how it uses people of honesty and integrity to cloak criminal ideological confidence games. Last April, a group of American citizens and one Englishman, clearly intent on trying to understand Castro and Cuba, announced the formation of a Fair Play for Cuba committee. They took a seven-column, $4,725 ad in the New York Times. They charged that the United States press, and that goes for most of us radio reporters too, the U.S. press is deliberately distorting the news from Cuba. They said reports of communism are consistently used to create a smokescreen behind which the social objectives of the Cuban Revolution can be attacked and sabotaged. The group solicited college students and teachers for money, and they provided speakers to intellectuals to prove that the American press was pretty outlandishly bad in its treatment of the bearded one of Cuba. The group, as we have pointed out, went forward with a clear eye and a mission under the radio journalist Robert Tabor. The names of writers Waldo Frank, Norman Mailer were used. The English-born New Yorker drama critic Kenneth Tynan added his say-so to the group. He said Americans tend to judge a regime, a government that is, on the extent to which it likes America. And then he busied himself with an article in Harper's Magazine ridiculing the idea that any Castro gold, as he put it, was being used on Americans by the Fair Play for Cuba Committee.